It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our buddy Kyle Bailey does afternoons on FNZ in Charlotte, and he's on the bench to talk about this rule hiring by Tepper and the Panthers. How you been, Kyle? Happy New Year.
Scotty Burrell, what's up, brother? Happy New Year to you.
Hope you're doing great, man. So tell me about this this deal where he was able to lure Rule, who was, you know, allegedly getting ready to have a meeting with the Giants, but that I heard all this stuff like he had him, I don't know, trapped or something in a house, and he just wouldn't let him leave and locked the doors and had him at gunpoint and gave him $60 million and another 10 if he does some other things too. He was just throwing money around.
Yeah, no, it's holding him ransom. I was even going to call Mel Gibson. It was a story. It's a really, really good story. I tell you what, he got the guy he wanted, Scotty. And, you know, they weren't the only ones that wanted him, but David Tepper got aggressive and realized, I think, mid-interview that he was the one they were locked in on, the guy he wanted, and he wasn't going to let him get away. The Giants wanted him. It's actually been pretty comical throughout the day to watch the Giants try to spin it as if Joe Judge was their first choice and not Matt Rule. But you know, David Tepper took who the Giants wanted, and I know some people are taking that as a referendum on the Giants organization. I'll leave that for other people to decide. But I think there's a feeling in the league right now that David Tepper's a guy you want to work for, and I think that's why he got the man he got in Matt Rule.
So I think he stole Matt Rule from the Giants, and the Giants are full of it. They're lying, and I think they've butchered every hire they've made over the last 10 years. They're embarrassing, and this hire that they've made, in my opinion, is laughable. But let me ask you this question: when Tepper came from Pittsburgh, because he was a Steeler owner, he was in bed with the Rooneys. And he wanted his own team because the guy's a multi-billionaire, and he obviously got the Panthers, and now he's the man, and he's very rich and powerful. When he came there, what did you think initially? Like, right off the bat, did you guys think he was stuck up? Did you think he was cool? Did you think he was just a billionaire that was like, who does this guy think he is? Or what was the real initial opinion of him?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit varied, but I do think the general opinion was just that this guy's not Jerry Richardson. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all that this town had known was, you know, the stoic and increasingly quiet Southern gentleman who turned out to have some skeletons in the closet. But you know, Dave Tepper shows up. He's from Pennsylvania, and he talks a little bit different. He works a little bit differently, and you know, he came in and did some things right away that built up some really quick equity with the fan base in the city, namely building a practice bubble and replacing the NFL shield at the 50-yard line in Bank of America Stadium with the team logo, something that Jerry Richardson just would not do for a number of years. At first, it was kind of a nice nod to the league for bringing NFL to the Carolinas, but then after a while, it was kind of an odd thing. So Tepper did some things like that to build up equity. I think we're just now seeing the end of the honeymoon period and the start of some criticism. There are some people who didn't like the way that he handled firing Ron Rivera mid-season, and there are some people who don't like the hire that he made, although I like it personally. I think the majority can get behind this, and so I think we're going to start to see the real time period that we can judge David Tepper beginning right about now.
So Kyle Bailey's with us. He does afternoons on WFNZ, great station in Charlotte. Let me ask you this question, because, you know, I live here in this hellhole, and I have to say, it's a great city, but it's stressful. I mean, you have to have massive stones to survive here, in my opinion. It is a place that can eat people alive. It is a, you know, just a... It's insanity living here, and the money and the people are just rude and just vicious. I mean, literally, I mean, the nastiest people on earth live in New York City, and that's just all there is to it. You can quote me on that. And I hear these people say, you know, this guy the other day, whatever, what was his name, Clowney, the Eagles fans are the worst in the world. He has no idea what rude people are like until you've lived in New York City, okay? So, and like, women here will spit in your face to get a cab, kick you in the shin to get a cab. So my question is this. Do you think there was any point where he... where Rule thought to himself, I got this billionaire offering me all this money, and I don't need that stress, because up here, you lose one or two games, they're ready to hang you.
Yeah, no, I think you're all over it. Matt Rule has proven himself to be a really smart guy, and let's not forget, this is certainly not the first time that he's surprised people. When he took that Baylor job, I mean, he was a pretty hot candidate coming out of Temple. Oregon was very interested. Missouri had interest. I think Virginia Tech might have flirted with him at one point. Like, this guy had good options. And he chose the Baylor gig at a time that it was toxic and seemingly nobody wanted to touch that place. He turned it around in short order, and he fixed the place. And so, you know, he's shown us that he will do things that are not customary or a little bit out of the box. And in some ways, that's what he's done here, but at the same time, you know, you just said a second ago, you know, we're in Charlotte. This is one of the fastest growing cities in the country.
Right.
In a great place to live.
Great place.
Your point, got a billionaire that will give him anything and everything that he wants, and their visions apparently align. You're right. He gets everything he wants, less the stress. Who wouldn't want that?
I have to ask you, though, like, in the sense of Charlotte, like, I have friends, a lot of them that live there, and I've been there. It's a cool place. It's a lot different than New York City. It's candy ass compared to here. So but in a nice way. I mean that respectfully. It's really like it's candy ass compared to this place. And this is hell on earth. And so I have to ask you, like, do you think he actually, in the sense of living life, his family, his the whole deal? Because he thought he lied and you know, all this nonsense. I just need to be happy. I'm, you know, Waco's where we're happy. I wrote this today on Twitter. I said, you know, you're happy until someone gives you 60 million happy reasons to leave someplace like Waco, Texas. So do you think he's better off in Charlotte than he would be living in this hellhole?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. For the same reason you see a lot of really talented college football coaches less antsy to take risky jumps to seemingly better jobs when they're making a lot of money in places that the expectations aren't quite as high. And I'm not saying that's the case here. I'm just saying coaches have become a lot more savvy and smart about how they navigate their careers. And if you're Matt Rule, to your point, look, I'm part of the Charlotte media, Scotty. Like, I tell my listeners all the time, this ain't New York. It ain't Boston. It ain't Philly. You know, we are nice. We say hello, and we hold doors for old ladies, and we do all sorts of things a little bit differently. And that's not better or worse. It's just how we do them. I think he's realized that you can win, make a lot of money, and be happy in a place that's not full of people that want to tear you down all the time. He's going to catch criticism here if he doesn't perform and doesn't meet expectations. But no, you're right. I mean, it's nicer here, and I think he's probably aware of that. I mean, nicer in the way you described it, obviously. I love New York City, but Charlotte's very, very much not New York City.
Listen, I've been here 20 years. I must love it too, but I'm also crazy. Okay, so like, I'm perfect for this place. Like, I'm a heart attack waiting to happen. Let me ask you this question. Is McCaffrey and you know, we already know that he's Jesus, right? So are they keeping Cam Newton? That's what matters, because McCaffrey's already like baby Jesus. Everyone loves him. Old ladies, dogs, cats, everybody. People that hate each other love him. Like, the, you know, he could bring anyone. He could bring Iran and the U.S. together for lunch. But what about Cam Newton?
I think the default position, and this is as it was told to me by a member of their front office a couple of weeks ago, their default position is they want a healthy Cam Newton to be their starting quarterback next year. Cam Newton said in a piece written a couple of weeks ago that they're going to have to ship him out of here if they want to get rid of him. So both sides are saying publicly they want to be back together again next year. Now, as far as any extension or guaranteed money beyond that, that could be an obstacle that could complicate things. But at this point, you know, people are talking about, well, Cam could, you know, do this for the Chargers or that for the Bears or, you know, X, Y, and Z destination. There's a strong argument to be made. The team that needs him the most is the Carolina Panthers, and it's kind of been obvious all along. So I think Matt Rule would jump at a chance to work with a healthy 30-year-old Cam Newton. But if that's not going to be an option, I do think they're prepared to draft a quarterback 7th overall and to start looking to the future if that's what they have to do.
Do you think that, because you had mentioned Rivera, right, the way that he fired him. But in reality, did you think that the candle had burned out? Like, did you think that it was time? Because they gave this guy 7 years. So, you had mentioned that people may not like him. And if he makes some mistakes, he's going to take some heat. But guess what? He's not going anywhere. And if he does go somewhere, they're going to pay him for 7 years, $60 million. So you better get used to Matt Rhule. But what did you think of the way, at the end, was Rivera burning out? What is Washington getting?
I think Ron Rivera is a really good football coach. 2 days after he got fired, I sat down with him for about a 30-minute interview, and a lot of things became apparent to me. But chief among them was the fact that Ron Rivera had a plan for life after the Carolina Panthers. I think he knew that was a possibility. I also think it became obvious that after he was fired and Perry Fuel was named the interim head coach, that team and that locker room completely fell apart. Some of those veterans like Greg Olsen got very vocal about the current state of the locker room. So Ron Rivera is still a very good football coach. Maybe it was time for a change of voice and presence in the locker room. But just like John Harbaugh, who we were talking about firing a year ago, now he's on the cusp of possibly making another Super Bowl run. I think the same thing would have been possible for Ron Rivera in Charlotte. But, I mean, if you're the Washington Redskins, that's the best possible scenario they could have hoped for. That you want to talk about an organization that needs culture of any kind, but certainly a good kind, it's the Redskins, and Ron Rivera can give them that. So I think he needed new life, a little bit of change of scenery, and I wouldn't be surprised if they have a lot of success early on.
All right, KB, one last thing I'm going to throw your way. The Nets suck so bad that they lost their 7 straight tonight that your crappy basketball team, they might actually catch them for the 8th spot in the East, because your crappy team's, I think, a little bit better than our crappy team here in Brooklyn. So I'll leave you with that. Like, you might have a really bad team, but they might actually catch another team that's worse than them. So let's see how it goes the rest of the way. I love you, KB. Thanks for coming on the bench and talking Rhule with us. Keep rocking down in Charlotte. Take care of things in the South for me, brother.
You got it, man. Always a pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Kyle Bailey does afternoons on FNZ, our great station in Charlotte.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.